You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I am your host, Courtney Coulson. Let's get it out of the way first. I know, you're probably wondering, why am I dedicating so much time to this movie? I'm well aware that Prometheus is quite divisive to say the least. I've heard all the complaints, I know, and I get it. Why did they remove their helmets? Why did they run in a straight line when the Juggernaut was about to crush them? Why did Milburn want to pat a vagina snake? Why didn't Holloway tell anyone he was infected? And why did they cast Guy Pearce to play an ancient old man? And honestly, these are all valid criticisms. It's not a perfect film, and I would argue there are very few films that are objectively perfect, if at all. But I don't believe these minor problems or nitpicks mean the entire thing should be dismissed. Prometheus is one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. We rarely get blockbuster films with this much depth, this much scope and scale and spectacle, and this much attention to detail. That's why I feel it's ideal for the movie by minute format. There truly is a wealth of things to discuss here. Given that this is minute one, we just have the 20th Century Fox and Scott Free production cards, so there's not much to discuss here. Plus, if you listen to Star Wars by Minute or Alien by Minute, they've shared all the interesting trivia there is to share on the Fox logo. Also, shout out to those shows. Star Wars by Minute started the Movies by Minute format, and Alien by Minute is the show that inspired me to create this podcast. So, at the end of this minute, in the last 5 seconds, we get a shot of a planet, perhaps Earth, while a few notes of the theme song plays. I am quite certain this is an homage to 2001 A Space Odyssey. So with that aside, in this episode, please allow me to introduce myself and explain the format of this show. I found the Alien franchise is unique in that how one responds to these films often depends on how you were introduced to them and in what order. I'm 26, so my first introduction to the franchise was Alien vs. Predator when I was 12 years old. And I know, it how horrendous, but it's not bad for baby's first sci-fi horror. I've had a lifelong fascination with monsters, so I love the creature effects. I wasn't bothered by the plot, because I didn't know any better. I just thought the aliens and the predators look badass. I actually preferred the Predators for a long time. They were my favorite out of the two because the xenomorphs in those movies are simply cannon fodder. The Predators were killing them left and right, almost effortlessly. They're just such a neutered shadow of their true selves, but I wouldn't realize that until much later. I think it was actually my mother, who is a big horror movie fan. She was the one who kept telling me that I absolutely had to watch the original Alien. I don't remember how old I was. I know I was in high school, so probably around 14 to 16. But I do recall being very impressed by it. I was watching it in my bedroom alone in the dark, which I think is the best way to do so. And I was expecting some schlocky, cheesy old horror movie, but it's far more sophisticated than that. And scary on an existential level. I'm sure you're all aware, of course, that Alien's quite a unique beast in the sense that it isn't this typical horror film. It really wasn't like anything else at the time or since. It's somehow a monster movie, but it's beautiful and it's smart and it's pregnant with menace, no pun intended. The xenomorph isn't really in it that much, and it doesn't need to be. I think that format has since been copied a lot, you know, where you've got this monster, you've got a crew of humans, they all have to survive, they get picked off one by one, and most of them are incredibly boring and predictable. I think Alien and The Thing are pretty much the only films that do that format and do it well. So from there, I marathon the other films, of course. Aliens is very different. While being equally fantastic in its own way, I think one critic called it obnoxiously competent, and I think that's a great description, how it's totally different. You know, you don't, most franchises, there's, the sequels follow a certain formula, or there's a continuation of the story, whereas this is a complete departure, but it's equally good in its own right. It even jumps into a different genre. The first film is very much this brooding horror. It's more terror than horror. It's not about the violence and the gore. That's quite minimal. Whereas Aliens is more of an action film. And that's my approach I take to the franchise as a whole. Each film should delve into a different genre. I'm not expecting any kind of consistency. And that's what makes it so different to, say, you know, if you're a fan of Star Wars or Star Trek or any fandom like that, there tends to be a general consensus of this is what this franchise should be. But Alien is so divisive because it depends which one you prefer and how you envision these films. But honestly, I enjoy all of them in a different way. But that said, Alien 3, it's fine. I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's well done. But I just, it's depressing. It's such a miserable, bleak movie that I have no inclination to visit it again. I tend to agree with the general consensus that killing off Ripley's surrogate family was a really bad idea. You spend Aliens growing attached to Newt and Bishop and Hicks, and I think the trajectory of the trilogy, if there was just going to be three films and there was a consistent trajectory, I think it would have been Ripley loses everyone in Alien, then she builds this new family in Aliens, and then the third film, you know, they face whatever it is together. And I think it would have been more powerful and meaningful if one by one everyone got picked off and then Ripley sacrifices herself in the end. I think that's my ideal Alien 3. Alien 4 is balls to the wall insane, and I have a great time watching it. It drags a little towards the end, but I think it's got so many great concepts and visuals, and I mean, Ripley and Call and the sexual tension, I mean, I ship it, how could you not? It's as French as you can get in a sci-fi movie without making the fifth element. It's very different from the rest of the franchise, but as I've said, each film should be drastically different. I'm not expecting consistency there. Also, side note, I studied costume design at the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts, and I studied sculpture, and my teacher for that course was Will Huntley, shout out. And he worked on Alien 4. He did the fucked up Ripley clones, so you're welcome for that. I think that's one of the best parts of that movie. Oh, and yes, there will be spoilers for all the Alien films in this. I think that goes without saying. So you're probably wondering, well, if they killed off Ripley's surrogate family in Alien 3, and I don't like that, how do I feel about Elizabeth Shaw being killed in Alien Covenant? And honestly, I think it's a great twist. It's brutal, it's shocking, it's heartbreaking, and it serves the plot. I think it further serves to show David's descent into madness. I really thought, actually, when I walked out of the cinema, my mind was blown, and I just kept thinking, holy shit, I can't believe they did that, and what does this mean? And that really got my imagination going, which leads me into where we are now. Overall, I had a casual enjoyment of Alien as a franchise, but I wasn't really obsessed with it. That is, until the prequels, and specifically Alien Covenant. That plot twist, just, oh man, I thought that was so great, and I think there's just so much to be analyzed in Covenant, which then got me to go back and revisit Prometheus, and I think I appreciate it now more than ever. I don't know how many times I've watched it, but I notice new things every time, which, you will be privy to such observations in this show, of course. I should mention, I am autistic, so I am just in a full-on, intense, autistic obsession with the Alien franchise for... God, when did the movie Covenant came out? May? So it's been 9 months at this point. I'm good at math. and I've probably driven my friends and family nuts, but such is my life. And now I get to inflict my obsessive rantings onto you, the listener. I've been doing a lot of research, you could call it, you know, just watching the films and reading related media and discussing these films at length, and I never seem to run out of new things to discover. You know, I've even met a lot of friends through the fandom, and we're always a lot of us love writing essays and articles about Alien, and there's so much there. And apparently, Sigourney Weaver actually collects essays and articles about Alien, so that's quite cool. I've finished playing Alien Isolation recently. I don't really play games, but holy shit, it's so intense. I'm not a very emotional person. I don't generally, you know, get that emotionally invested in fiction, but it's stressful, man. I don't know how everyone else copes with it. I believe the true horror of Alien is more in the subtext and in the suggestive stuff. It's this perfect balance of erotic horror and existential dread, and the way no other story has been able to accomplish. Of course, yeah, that all of that went way over my head as a teenager. And yeah, I think perhaps because I am autistic and asexual, it took me a long time to come to understand the world and have the social maturity to pick up on those concepts. It's perhaps because I am asexual that erotic horror is especially frightening, because sexuality is already an alien, no pun intended, concept to me. There isn't a version of sex which is consensual or desirable for me. Alright, so let's jump back to 2012. I was 20, which feels like a decade ago, honestly. I was very naive and immature, but that's neither here nor there. Sadly, I don't remember much about my experience seeing Prometheus for the first time. I don't have a great memory when it comes to my own life experiences, to be quite honest. It's quite fragmentary. I'm much better at remembering facts and trivia, which will come in handy in this show. I know I saw Prometheus in theaters and I loved it, but I don't remember who I saw it with or any other specifics. It's perhaps because it got overshadowed by The Avengers and The Dark Knight Rises, because those were released in the same year. And that may be another reason why Prometheus just didn't resonate culturally the way it potentially could have. It was such an explosion of similar genre films. There's just... yeah, just too much for people to take in at any one time. And then, of course, the Avengers and the Marvel films became this ongoing thing. So, yeah. I think, in general, we live in a time of a cultural explosion where every day it feels like there are dozens, if not hundreds, of new videos, TV shows, movies, books, comics, blogs. There's so much content being consumed on any particular day that I don't know if we'll ever get movies that have such an impact like the first Alien or Star Wars or anything like that. You know, back then there wasn't much competition. You know, something like Star Wars and Alien took over the world because it might have been the only thing in cinemas for months at a time that was worth seeing. What I do remember about seeing Prometheus for the first time is that David really stood out to me, and he continues to resonate with me more now than he did back then. That is Prometheus David, not Covenant David. he's not exactly a role model in Covenant. But we shall delve into all of that in much more depth when we reach the appropriate minutes in this film. What I also remember more clearly is when my parents took me to see some other movie in Gold Class, which is this kind of luxury cinema where they have these large reclining seats and overpriced and undersized restaurant quality food is brought out to you during the film. You've probably got something similar to that in your part of the world. Anyway, before we went in to see our movie, I snuck into a random cinema which happened to be playing Prometheus. I believe it was towards the end of the film where Elizabeth Shaw has... The Juggernaut's fallen over and Elizabeth is lying there, sort of despairing about her situation. But I remember just being instantly transfixed seeing it again because it's just... It's beautiful. This movie is so beautiful. It definitely stuck with me, especially the imagery, and 5 years later I find that I have a lot to say about this film, and I think a podcast such as this will put that obsession to good use. If you want someone to obsessively analyze all 120 minutes or so of Prometheus, an autistic person is a good choice. I mean, I'm your only choice, but you're in good hands is what I'm trying to tell you here. I really don't think Prometheus deserves the vitriol it gets. It's a victim of that internet hive mind mentality. It's almost cool to hate Prometheus, and you're probably seeing this a lot with movies that are coming out now, The Last Jedi, where no one hates franchise more than the fandom. You know, Star Trek fans are hating on Star Trek Discovery. Star Wars fans are hating on the latest Star Wars. Alien fans are hating on the latest Alien films. I just don't understand it. You know, if you don't enjoy it, cool. But it's almost fashionable, or almost makes you seem like you're smarter than this movie by saying it's bullshit. But what I find is, I mean, you're more than welcome to hate a film. But a lot of the hate thrown at these films isn't actually addressing the real problems. It's either nitpicking, or it's more, oh, I'm sexist or racist but can't admit it. So they sort of go, oh, it's diversity for the sake of diversity. And you know, all that sort of stuff. So I think this podcast is also a response to that disappointing trend in the geek community, that there's not enough positivity out there. So that's what I want to accomplish with this podcast. And I will have guests on here who can debate certain aspects of the film, but mostly I want this to be a pretty positive place, but not unreasonably so. I think I will point out the flaws and criticize certain aspects, but in a productive, constructive way. And I think that's sadly missing in fandoms these days. I also feel like it's kind of ridiculous to expect a 2-hour Hollywood movie to answer the most important, fundamental, ontological questions humanity has ever asked since we invented language. I think Prometheus, to me, is great because it inspires thought and conversation. It asks questions, but presents no answers, and I honestly don't understand why that isn't appreciated, or why that's seen as a flaw. To the point that the DVD or Blu-ray cover art on some of the copies said of the special features, "Your questions will be answered." If you actually knew what the story was, there's enough information to go on, the rest is mysterious. I mean, the first Alien. What was the derelict ship? What was the space jockey? You never know. I think a lesser movie would probably have some third act where some character shows up and gives this exposition of, oh yes, the space jockeys were an ancient race of aliens and they created the xenomorph, or maybe it was David, I don't know. That would have killed the film. It would have been so condescending. I'm glad Prometheus is vague enough in keeping with the Alien universe. it gives you a little bit. It gives you just enough to get your imagination going, to make you wonder, well, okay, but what does this mean? And how does this work? And that's what I love. I think movies that spell everything out are so boring. Because you just walk away and go, yep, got it, cool. So we're reaching about 30 minutes at this point, and I think that's about as long as episodes should go, or at least the ones by myself. I do write scripts, and when I read those out verbatim, they're only about 10 minutes long, but when I record, I tend to get excited and think of all these other things, so I ramble a little bit. So yeah, 30 minutes would probably be what I'm aiming for. When I have guests on, it might be longer than that, but I don't think I would ever want to exceed maybe an hour. So overall, the aim for the show is to be positive about Prometheus, but at the same time, you know, be realistic, have perspective on it, be critical. And to also look at it from a variety of perspectives. Being that I come from a costume design background, I may likely discuss costumes at greater length than other Movies by Minute podcasts. You know, I honestly feel that's such a rich topic, and most people don't even think about it, or they just gloss over it, or they might mention it here and there. Yeah, I think Prometheus, there's a lot to be analyzed in terms of design, AI, robotics, philosophy, religion, even conspiracy theories. Alex Jones has actually reviewed, I say in quotation marks there, reviewed Prometheus and Alien. But yeah, there's a lot of mythology and also conspiracy theories that are referenced in Prometheus. So there's just so much to cover in this show. So I hope this will be a rich and diverse show in terms of the kind of subject matter I cover. I also encourage any feedback or discussions or anything like that. Right now, I have not set up any of the social medias and what have you, but I'll be sure to put that into the description of this episode on iTunes. I will also be uploading this to my website, traviandesigns.com. That's T-R-A-V-I-A-N designs.com. Alright, that about covers all you need to know for now. This is Coulson, signing off.